From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In just a few weeks, the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule in the case of Department of Commerce versus New York. It's a critical case over adding a question of citizenship to the 2020 U.S. Census. The Trump administration and Republican Party have pushed hard on the idea of collecting citizenship information of U.S. residents, but critics have long countered that it will lead to fear among undocumented people who will in turn fail to fill out the form, be undercounted, and therefore have their home states be underrepresented in Congress. Now, a smoking gun has emerged to solidify that counter-argument to the census question. In a case around gerrymandering, a longtime Republican operative named Thomas Hofeller, now deceased, was found to have suggested the idea of counting citizens in order to boost the voting power of whites and therefore to benefit the Republican Party. My guest is Dan Vicuña. He is the National Redistricting Manager at Common Cause. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So first, let's talk about what this evidence is and how it emerged in a case not about the citizenship issue on the census, but around gerrymandering. This, I understand, were documents that were found on the hard drive of this deceased Republican operative by his estranged daughter?
That's right. So Common Cause is the plaintiff in a lawsuit in North Carolina. In fact, we're the plaintiff in a couple of lawsuits in North Carolina, challenging the gerrymandering of congressional districts in one case. That's where we're currently waiting for a decision from the Supreme Court. And we're challenging state legislative districts in North Carolina state court. And we're going to go to trial in the next couple of months on that. So in the process of gathering evidence about that case and for that trial, we came across, as you mentioned, a treasure trove of documents from Dr. Thomas Hofeller, who was really a Michelangelo of gerrymandering in several states. You know, he orchestrated some of the worst gerrymanders in Republicans' favor around the country, including North Carolina. And after he passed away, his daughter came across these documents and discovered that in addition to providing a lot of information for our case about redistricting, and I think about the way redistricting went behind closed doors in many states, we also learned that he played a key role in helping to convince the Trump administration to use the census as a process to politically rig districts, rig elections. So it was a really fascinating find, and it demonstrates what we really knew already, is that this administration is not interested in a fully funded, effective, correct census. What it's trying to do is rig elections in the favor of Republican candidates.
So specifically, he created this report in 2015 where he examined the state legislative districts in Texas, right? And in that analysis, he wrote that if they had information or just the count of citizen voters of age, that they could redraw political maps that were, quote, advantageous to Republicans and non-Hispanic whites. To me, that is a smoking gun, right?
Yeah, it's insane. So in 2015, there was a legal challenge to Texas's use of total population to draw districts. Total population is enshrined in the Constitution for congressional districts. It's required. It's a way to ensure that every person living in the United States has equal representation in the halls of Congress. Unfortunately, the use of total population is slightly less concrete when it comes to state legislative districts. So conservative operatives attempted to challenge Texas's use of total population in a case called Evenwell v. Abbott. And in 2015, there was a conservative mega donor who ran a sort of right-wing newspaper online publication who wanted Dr. Hofeller to tell him about trying to make invisible in our democracy millions of people, particularly Latinos, by drawing districts using only citizen voting age population. So Dr. Hofeller did the study in Texas, as you mentioned, where the center of this Evenwell lawsuit was. Fortunately, the Supreme Court issued a ruling in favor of the state of Texas, stating that states were allowed to use total population. Unfortunately, it's still an open question about whether states are required to use total population for state legislative districts. So this conservative megadonor wanted to take this idea out for a spin. And Dr. Hoffeller discovered, I think much to the glee of some conservative activists, that if you could get a citizenship question onto the census, you could determine who in particular communities who were citizens and who were not citizens. And therefore, you could start to rig districts by counting only citizens, excluding and making invisible non-citizens, making it easier to underpopulate heavily Latino districts, pack a bunch of Democrats in them, making most of the state, most of the districts easier for Republicans to win.
So right now, congressional districts have to be drawn based on total population, regardless of citizenship status. But if Republicans could find a way to discourage non-citizens from making themselves, or being counted, then they would de facto be able to ensure that mostly citizens were counted. Is that sort of their logic?
Right. I mean, this is an attempt at sort of a win-win at cynicism. On the one hand, it will depress Latino participation in the census, which will ensure that districts are whiter and more conservative. Or even if you get a semi-accurate count of who's a citizen and who's not a citizen, then you can use that data to draw districts only based on citizenship. So it's really an attempt to rig this incredibly important exercise that government engages in every 10 years. I mean, the census is so vitally important to determine how many people live in the country, how resources are allocated. So to use that for political manipulation is just very harmful to democracy.
Right. It's not just congressional representation, which is, of course, absolutely critical. It's also federal funding, right?
That's right. I mean, there are just many resources that communities depend on for an accurate count. There needs to be an accurate count to ensure that communities have the education resources, the health and safety resources, police, firefighters, healthcare resources, you name it. So it's doing an incredible disservice to the democracy to use the census for perverse political purposes. So we're hoping that we shed a light on this clear evidence that what was going on here, that there was an attempt to harm minority voters and people of color generally, in an attempt to win partisan points at the expense of an accurate count. So we're still awaiting a decision in the census case. Hopefully this will get the attention of one or two justices who are maybe considering giving a rubber stamp for this cynical move to put the citizenship question on, but we'll see.
So on that issue then, is it too late to actually use this evidence unearthed in the separate case in the case before the Supreme Court? I mean, have they basically passed the deadline to have those challenging the Commerce Department's citizenship question passed the deadline to present this new evidence, this as new evidence?
Well, there's no real way to know where the justices are in the process of writing opinions. However, the ACLU, the attorneys from Arnold and Porter, who are the parties in the case that the Supreme Court's going to decide, did decide to file a brief with the Supreme Court to alert the justices of this new development. And hopefully it can make a difference in time. There's still a high likelihood that the most controversial, difficult decisions that the Supreme Court is going to issue this term still won't be decided and written for a few weeks, possibly June 24th, the last Monday of the term. And the Supreme Court often adds days when they want to sort of spread out a lot of important decisions. So hopefully there's still time.
One would imagine that such evidence emerging would, ensure that it's a done deal, that the Supreme Court essentially has what it would need in order to unanimously decide that it's unconstitutional to include this question. But of course, we live at a time when the Supreme Court has become so partisan, and the Republican Party has realized that, and they've done everything they can to stack the court, including, very unethically, Mitch McConnell refusing to hear give confirmation hearings for President Obama's Supreme Court nominee. And they have essentially managed to stack the court with conservatives that will rule in their favor. Shouldn't we be seeing everything that the Republican Party is doing as a multi-pronged approach to ensuring their party retains political power? The gerrymandering, the citizenship question, the stacking of the courts.
Well, sure. I mean, there's been a great deal of cynicism in terms of an attempt to accumulate as much power at the expense of democratic norms. That's unfortunately something we've become too familiar with. But so, as I mentioned, Common Cause was the plaintiff in a partisan gerrymandering case that the court heard a couple of months ago. And there were some interesting, surprising developments, even from sources we may not have a lot of confidence in, or may not have had a lot of confidence in beforehand, with the Chief Justice demonstrating a great deal of skepticism toward gerrymandering and the harm it causes, likening it to retaliating against employees for their political views, which is exactly the First Amendment claim being brought before him. Justice Kavanaugh seeming to sincerely look for the right approach, legal measure for when gerrymandering goes too far and when the court should step in. So, certainly when Justice Kennedy left the bench, there was a lot of cause for concern amongst voting rights advocates, civil rights advocates around the country. However, what I saw in person at the Supreme Court suggests that they, at least in one good government issue, they're wrestling with finding a real solution. So hopefully the clear evidence they've seen in the census case suggests that they'll do the same there.
Now, in this issue of gerrymandering, do we see, can you spell out for our audience the links between the effort to undercount Latino and other immigrant communities and therefore reduce the political power of Democrats, boost Republican power? I mean, if Thomas Hofheller saw these two issues as linked and may have been the originator of this idea to request citizenship information, it doesn't just discredit the citizenship question, it discredits the whole idea of gerrymandering too, right?
Yeah, so the goal here is to move away from total population, which is a concept that ensures equal representation. When you count everyone in the country and draw districts based on everyone in the country, communities of equal population have equal political power in numbers in the halls of power. When you then start to say, well, only some people are worthy of being visible in our democracy, only citizens of a voting age, perhaps depending on what these sort of extremist activists are looking to do, you start to allow representation to be skewed. You'll see districts that are overwhelmingly maybe rural, that are whiter because there are fewer immigrants in those communities. They have much more power when it comes to state legislatures, city councils, depending on the level that these gerrymanders are attempting to rig. It's really a way to get communities of smaller population more power than other communities of a larger population, simply because that larger population consists of is more diverse, more immigrants, fewer citizens. So it's really a troubling, potentially troubling development if this plays out the way that Dr. Hofheller envisioned and that the Trump administration is attempting to implement.
I want to just hone in on his specific remarks in the documentation around the 2015 report that he did about Texas. He said that, using this method that he's envisioned, He didn't say that it would be advantageous or it would favor whites and therefore the Republican Party. He said it would be advantageous to Republicans and non-Hispanic whites. To me, if there, I mean, there can be no greater evidence of someone looking to foment systemic racism. This is a white supremacist idea. Right? I mean, literally, to consider the votes and the voting power and the political power of white Americans over non-white Americans is a white supremacist idea.
Yeah, I think the most generous description of that comment would be to suggest that maybe he knew that it was assumed that white voters were tending to be Republican. Maybe, but it is a very troubling formulation of sort of blatant discrimination against people of color, an approach to politics that has a long and ugly history in this country. So again, we just hope that it's so raw in its evil and its wrongdoing that it will be convincing to the public at large, to the Supreme Court, to any courts in the future that look at this issue. So they can really, I think, dispense with sort of the BS justifications about what this is about, and get to the core of that sentence, which suggests that it's really about. Yeah, it's about continued bigotry and accumulation of power.
And if you look at the mainstream media coverage of this evidence that we're discussing, it does not emphasize that. NPR wrote, its headline said, GOP redistricting strategist played role in push for census citizenship question. New York Times said, deceased GOP strategist hard drives reveal new details on the census citizenship question. Washington Post wrote, it came the closest to actually spelling it out, saying despite Trump administration denials, new evidence suggests census citizenship question was crafted to benefit white Republicans. Actually, Hofeller just said white Americans. Slate and the Daily Beast, who are the sort of newer media, were a lot more honest. Slate wrote, new memo reveals the census question was added to boost white voting power. And the Daily Beast said, revealed Trump officials trying to rig elections for whites. So it really sort of depends on how you spin this evidence, or try to spin it in terms of whether it's actually understood by the public how egregious the Republican Party's attitude towards political power and undermining non-whites is, right? I mean, the media coverage of this ought to be a lot more honest, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a reluctance to call something racism or sort of systemic bigotry without that
Right.
smoking gun of a racial epithet or some sort of insult, instead of looking. Yeah, there's a conservative, not politically conservative, but sort of a careful attitude toward recognizing what really is systemic bigotry. We do have to start thinking about it more in terms of systems and not looking for that kind of smoking gun word or particular phrase that's among the ugliest in the language, and really look at systems play out. And this is a clear example of how systems could play out.
Let's also finally talk about what you think may happen between now and the 2020 election with this issue of gerrymandering wending its way through various courts at various state levels, but also the citizenship question at the Supreme Court, which becomes a federal issue for all states. The best case scenario, of course, would be that partisan gerrymandering gets struck down and the citizenship question is left off the census. But what do you think is likely to happen? And if the worst case scenario does happen, I mean, could we really see a significant change in voter turnout and voter representation in 2020?
Well, it's always a dangerous game to predict the court, right? If I could do that well, I'd be in Vegas, not here. But like I mentioned, oral arguments gave some cause for optimism. There were obviously some justices, Alito and Gorsuch, who were very clearly not going to be moved, thought this was, or claimed to think that this was a problem that was just unfixable by the courts. We've seen that proven to be not true, where you've seen trial courts in North Carolina, Ohio, Michigan find the supposedly elusive standard for striking down maps and doing it in a really effective and well-conceived way. So I think there's hope. We'll see. I mean, we'll know in a few weeks. And as for the census question, I'll just say that the evidence that recently came out, thanks to our court case in North Carolina, really lays bare what the administration is trying to do, what sort of the right wing, the media and academics, and what they're attempting to do in terms of suppressing Democratic votes, people of color, and the rights of immigrant communities. So we'll see.
Can you give out a website where people can find out more about the work that Common Cause is doing on this issue? And I understand that you also have actually put the evidence, including the documents from Hofeller, on your website?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you can get to them through commoncause.org/redistricting or commoncause.org/fairmaps. And you'll get a quick link over to these great resources that lay bare what's going on when it comes to the attempt to rig the census.
And you'd mentioned earlier that the ACLU has submitted these documents to the Supreme Court as they write their opinions on the citizenship question case. We'll see how that pans out. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
My guest has been Dan Vicuña, National Redistricting Manager at Common Cause. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.